Right. Well, I'll say a good morning again. And I was just going to say, we had a wee discussion at the door as to what would happen if, and I said to Rosemary, why don't we just go and have a cup of coffee? I wonder what they would do. Would they? Well, they might know. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But it's good to be here in worship, and a welcome to those who are joining us online as well. And before I get myself into any more bother, I'll let Rosemary take us through the intimations.
Good morning, and welcome, and a very happy new year to everyone. Welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or visitor, and a very warm welcome on a chilly morning to Catch. Warm spaces and sanctuary cinema. The church is open every Thursday between 1 p.m. and 5 p.m. until the end of March. This week and every 2 weeks, the sanctuary cinema will provide a film. This time the film is The Great Escaper. The film starts at 2 p.m. On alternate weeks there will be games and activities. Please note Warm Spaces is funded by Fife Council, so admission is free every week. Holy Communion. We will celebrate Communion on Sunday the 21st of January. Kirk Session. There will be a Kirk Session conference on Sunday the 28th of January at 2 p.m. This is for all the Kirk Session members in the West Fife Villages cluster and will take place here in Kearney Hill. But there will be more details to follow about that. And our own Kirk Session meets for ordinary business on Wednesday 31st of January at 7 p.m. And then we're at the end of January already. Joint service at Oakley on Sunday, 4th of February. There will be a joint service for all the congregations in the West Fife Village cluster at Oakley Church. This replaces the normal worship times in all the other churches, and the time at Oakley is yet to be confirmed. So there'll be more information about that too. And for those on Zoom, here is a look at the order of service. Thank you.
Thank you.
Almighty God, bless our offerings, we pray. Receive our gifts and use them to your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So I saw on the opening screen a big splash about this being New Year. Well, there's a whole weekend now, so I've got a big question. Anybody made a New Year resolution? Right, okay, well, that was fairly clear, because the second question was, have you managed to keep it for a week? But it's something that seems to have disappeared. I used to make New Year resolutions. I don't make them anymore because it was the same ones every year. And usually by the end of the first week, I've not managed to keep them. So that's a bit of a blow. Fewer and fewer people seem to be doing this. But we're still at the beginning of a new year. Now, I made a mistake down the road because I'm told this tradition is not just back in the days of my granny. My granny would not allow any dirt or debt to run from one year to the next. And she used to scrub the house from top. Everything was gleaming. I mean, it was just incredible the amount of work she did. Anybody here still keeping that tradition?
Kind of.
Which I associate with Scotland. Right? Well, do you know what it meant back in the days? I can remember my granny with stuff called black lead. Anybody having to black lead a grate or the fires around? And it was hard work because it really took a lot of polishing in. How about floor tiles? Anybody remember beeswaxing floor tiles? I can see some people laughing. And that was hard work. These were in the days when we had rugs. And if you had a carpet, it wasn't a fitted carpet. It was just in the middle of the floor. And all those linoleum tiles had to be polished. And then there was all the washing that needed to be done before washing machines. Can you imagine doing that?
They wouldn't have to wash machines now, let alone wash by hand.
So how do your clothes get clean? Do you just leave them in a heap?
I use the washing machine. I don't do anything, I just leave them full of bags.
Right, all of these things had to be done. Oh, and when it came to the carpets and rugs, these were taken out and they were hung up outside
and
beaten to get the dust out of them. All from a very long time ago. But that was a tradition in Scotland, was it? And if you didn't do that, then it was a kind of superstition that it wasn't going to be a good year if you didn't get the place shining. It's a good job I'm not superstitious. But we still look at each year as something that's fresh and new, even if we don't make New Year resolutions, because we're all looking forward to something. And we're maybe all perhaps hoping that other things won't happen, because there's all sorts of things that might happen. What are you looking forward to this year? Anybody got a birthday? I have a birthday every year.
So do I.
They're not so much fun now because the numbers are getting a bit big. And folk can't afford all the candles. So are you looking forward to a birthday?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Is there anything you're looking forward to?
Holidays.
The holidays. The holidays. Yeah, I'm beginning to think that you must be the three grumpy men.
You didn't get much sleep last night.
Did they not get you?
No, we stayed up till one.
You stayed up till one.
Yes.
And who allowed that? It's not rugs that should be beaten, it should be boys. Except we're not allowed to do that now, are we? There we go. So, there's not an awful lot of people looked forward to. Are you pessimists? You know what a pessimist is? That's somebody who, no matter what happens, they look at it and they go, well, that'll no work. Or that'll no last. Or, oh, that's not perfect.
That is kind of true.
That was kind of true.
Jackson said,
I
don't think you'll last,
I don't know,
well...
I think they're still half asleep.
You're still half asleep.
Yes.
Any optimists in the room? Ah, teary me,
it's a struggle.
It's a struggle.
This is going to be a struggle today. I'm in Scotland. I hate to say this, Dorothy, but you sound just like my granny. Her favourite phrase was, ah, well, we'll do that, loon, God willing. Everything was God willing. So, is there anything positive here to say? Oh, yes! Sometimes we pack away Christmas and we get to the new year and Christmas is past and we have the new year and we kind of pack all that stuff away. But the whole point of Christmas is that it's meant to continue. The gift of Christmas is for the whole year. And actually, every day is meant to be a new start for us with God, because however much we've failed in any day, however much we've failed today, as soon as we say sorry and mean it, God forgives us and says, right, guys, you've got a new start. And if you say to God, ah, oh, but remember all the stuff I've done, He goes, if I've forgiven you, it's forever. And God doesn't remember it against us. So, new starts are not just about the 1st of January. New starts are continually there. And when one of Jesus' friends was going, not sure about this forgiveness business, how many times do you think I should forgive if somebody does something wrong to me? And if Jesus gives an answer, it's because this is how God does things. And he said, well, and it was Peter who said, well, how many times do I do this? As many as seven. And Jesus' answer, it could be read as 77 times, or it could be read as 70 times seven. And I know you're all at school, so you'll be able to work that out. And it doesn't actually matter whether it's 77 or 70 times seven. 490? Puzzled. It means that forgiveness just carries on and carries on. So, are you feeling more optimistic now? Ready for the year? I hope so. We're going to sing a hymn with a tune that was, when I looked at the hymn, they're very good words. It's Christ is our light, the bright and morning star. And the tune was definitely my dad's favourite, because he kept asking my nephew to play it for him on the pipes. It's to the tune of Highland Cathedral. So let's sing 336, Christ is our light, the bright and morning star.
Bright and morning.
Rosemary is leading us in our prayers this morning.
Let us pray. God of love and truth, we come to worship you at the opening of a new year. Some of us feel fear for what the future may bring. Some of us feel optimism for good things ahead. Some of us feel like we need to turn over a new leaf. However we are feeling, we approach you in reverence and humility. We are aware that there are times we have not heard your voice, times when we have not followed your call. There are times when we have judged others harshly for their faith or their lack of faith, and we were slow to acknowledge when we were wrong. Forgive us, loving Father. Forgive us in the baptizing power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Forgive us and set for us a path of redemption, a kinder voice to others, a kinder mindset when we think of others, and a kinder voice to ourselves. As we bring to you now our own personal thoughts and to say sorry. Thank you, gracious God, that this redemption is ours. This new life for a new year is ready for us to take up in new beginnings, and your voice will be our guide on the way. Eternal Father, gather us now as we join together in saying your prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our readings this morning come from the book of Ecclesiastes and from Mark's Gospel. Ecclesiastes can be viewed as quite a pessimistic book because the teacher finds an awful lot of pessimism in life. But it is a kind of realism about ourselves and about the world. And it is right that we have that realism. But far greater than that is the forgiveness of God and God's grace within our lives. And our second reading comes from Mark's Gospel, where it's the story of John and Jesus. And that tells us of that new beginning, of that thing that is new for us in Jesus. Alistair is going to read to us from Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and from Mark chapter 1.
So then our first reading then is Ecclesiastes 5, 1 to 7. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. A dream comes when there are many cares, and many words mark the speech of a fool. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. it is better not to make a vow than to make one and not fulfil it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin, and do not protest to the temple messenger, "My vow was a mistake." Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, fear God. Amen. And then from the New Testament, Mark chapter 1, verses 4 to 11. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt round his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven: "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Amen, and may God bless us this reading from his holy word.
Hymn 465. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. just as children write their wish list for Christmas, as adults we tend to have a wish list for the new year. There are hopes and celebrations to look forward to. There are fears and griefs we would rather not experience. Every year has significant milestones in life. Maybe these come more quickly to youngsters than for adults, because as we get older, things of note tend to be of decades rather than years, and decades seem to be beginning to fly by. What is true for all of us is that the future is always unknown. We can write things in our diaries. We can note things on the family calendar. There are dates that follow the same pattern year after year. But even these have an element of the unknown. This element of the unknown can be viewed in very different ways depending upon our mindset. For the optimist, the unknown is all about that element of surprise, and who wouldn't want these surprises? For the pessimist, the unknown is all about worst-case scenario and something to dread. Most of us lie somewhere in between these two. We maybe veer towards one or the other, depending on the day and depending what we're going through. This means that sometimes we need to learn something of positivity from the optimist and temper that with the realism of the pessimist. It's all too easy to understand optimism as unrealistic and pessimism as far too gloomy. The Christian faith, at its best, is positive in terms of God's loving presence. But of course, recognizing the negative effects of sin and evil in our lives and in the life of the world. To those who have decided against faith in God, the presence of evil is proof that God cannot be the good and loving creator we describe him to be. By human wisdom, we can neither prove the existence of God nor the non-existence of God. To the atheist, faith in God seems nonsensical. To those who have faith, atheism has no answer to the big questions of life. From the perspective of humanism and materialism, what we do not understand is simply a lack of knowledge, something that will be remedied when we can answer those questions. Our actions and reactions are down to chemical processes. Biology boils down to chemistry. Intelligence is part of an evolutionary process. Morality and ethics are the psychology of survival. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we have a level of pessimism about the human state that could easily lead to a denial of God. The writer, who calls himself the teacher, finds in the midst of his pessimism about life, because he thinks everything is a vanity and a chasing after wind. In the midst of all of that pessimism and his despair at the human state, he finds God. And his hope and his faith are in God. There is hope despite all of the evidence that he sees around him. The attraction of this book of the Old Testament is that despite all his questions about life, the writer finds hope in faith, hope in God. As we come to the end of the first week of 2024, our hopes and fears are exactly what they were a year ago and years before that. It almost seems nothing changes. But instinctively, deep down, we believe that a new year is a new start. If we simply go to the lessons of history and judge ourselves on the evidence presented in the media, there would be no hope. Sometimes it seems impossible to have any kind of faith that humanity will ever get anything right. It seems incomprehensible to have faith in humanity. But what is astounding is that contrary to all the evidence, God has faith in humanity. The God that we know as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Creator of all things, who knows each one of us better than we know ourselves, has faith in us. It seems a nonsense. Isaiah reminds us that God is beyond our limited understanding. Speaking to the people centuries before Jesus' birth, he speaks this word from God: "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." In our reading from Mark, we have John the Baptist trying to prepare the way for Jesus. The people look at John and see a great prophet. He's just like those prophets of old. He speaks like Isaiah or Jeremiah or one of the other great prophets. And Jesus agrees. Later, he will describe John as the greatest of the prophets. John's words about Jesus warn the people of something greater than they can imagine. Of course, the people then look to Jesus as the kind of Savior they can imagine, because they have decided what that Savior will look like. God is doing the impossible. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the one through whom all things were created, becomes part of that creation, flesh of our flesh. Jesus triumphs over evil by weakness rather than strength. And in the story of his birth, all that's the story of Christmas that we so recently celebrated, in there, flavors of what is to come. A foretaste of a life and a death of Jesus being more than we can imagine. What Jesus does is not by human wisdom. Through Jesus, we are baptized, immersed, soaked in the Spirit. We are drawn to that place where we can call God Father. And it is worth remembering that the word that Jesus uses is the familial word, not the formal word. We belong to the family of God. To those who struggle to believe in God and those who have decided that God does not exist, the best advice is keep asking the questions. Because atheism and humanism doesn't have the answers. To those who have faith, and especially those who believe their faith is complete, the best advice is to keep asking the questions. Because God is always more than we can understand or imagine. But maybe the best advice comes from the teacher. The only way that we will hear from God is to stop and listen. We live in a noisy world, and this is going to be a noisy year full of all sorts of promises and proclamations. And we've already seen that in the news as there is talk of elections. There's all sorts of noise. It's a noisy world, full of a multitude of opinions, including our own. We need to go near to God to listen rather than offer our foolishness. God is always more than we can imagine or understand. Those words again. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. At the end of this, I was just going to announce the next hymn, More Words. And I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do something that is just that wee bit different. I'm not going to say anything. And for a few moments, we're just going to stop and listen. Go near to God to listen rather than offer our foolishness. And now to sing, remembering that every new morning God gives us freely, not just once a year, and not just even once a day. God gives freely, again and again. Hymn 213, every new morning God gives us freely. Prayers for the world and for ourselves.
Let us pray. Everlasting God, we celebrate your coming to our world in Jesus Christ, your light that continues to shine in the darkness of our world. We praise you for the way your love shone in so many lives during his ministry, Through the healing he brought to the sick, comfort to the distressed, promise to the poor, and forgiveness to the lost. Receive our worship and shine in our lives today. We praise you for the light that has shone in so many lives, realizing new beginnings, new purpose, new life born within. Receive our worship and shine in our lives today. God of grace and compassion, we rejoice that you are at work in our lives here and now, inviting us to bring our hopes, fears and concerns before you in the knowledge that you will always meet our needs. No situation is beyond your power to transform and redeem. We pray for restoration of the truth and the lives of all who have been left broken following the miscarriage of justice associated with the post office, which has been a prolonged agony for many. We bring to you all the communities affected by flooding following recent storms across the country, and for all those who have provided urgent assistance and support. And we bring to you our concerns for climate change and for all who are suffering as a result of extreme weather events across our world. We think of the people of Japan in the aftermath of the earthquake and all who are involved there in rescue, relief and recovery. Merciful God, receive our worship and shine in our lives today. We continue to pray for Ukraine and for the Middle East. We praise you for the assurance that evil will be overcome, that hope will replace despair, that joy will come after sorrow, and life will triumph over death, that even the deepest darkness shall be turned to light. Receive our worship and shine in our lives today. Loving God, fill us now with the light of Christ. May it lead our worship and guide our footsteps so that we may live as a lamp for others as we take a moment now to bring to you all who we hold in our hearts this morning. To the glory of your name, Father God, receive our worship and shine in our lives today. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we ask it. Amen.
M468, Son of God, Eternal Saviour. with the light of Christ to the world, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you, and remain with you always.